ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1 as we continue going through this challenging letter that James has written to Jewish Christians who have been scattered abroad. Jews living outside the land of Israel because of persecution. And it was tough for them. It was persecution based on their faith in Jesus Christ. And as we saw last time, James opens up this letter dealing with trials that these Jewish Christians were facing. And it was not easy for them, not at all. They left everything. And James wants to encourage them to continue on in the faith, not to give up, because through all this, God is working in their lives. And we saw the following in regard to what these trials are to do in our lives, how we're to respond to things that come upon our lives. As we're going through trials, James says that we should count it all joy in the trials that come our way, that we understand that trials come upon our lives to test our faith, and that all that we go through are for the purpose of producing results in our lives, and we need to endure to the end. And lastly, we looked at that all that God is doing is leading to maturity and a completeness in our lives. And really what we're going to be studying this morning is born out of what James has just said regarding these trials that come upon our lives. I've called this study, What's Happening? Because I think that's the question many of us have, if not all of us, as we're going through tough times, as we're going through trials in our lives. I mean, things are happening. We're like, what in the world is going on? I don't get this anymore. What is happening? And yes, trials are not easy, and they're not meant to be easy. You see, God is working through these trials, testing our faith, helping us to grow, to mature us in the faith, as I've said. I'll share this story with you, and I'll kind of show you what I mean. Some years ago in Dublin, a company of women met to study the Bible. And one of them was puzzled by the words of Malachi 3:3, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." After some discussion, a committee was appointed to call on a silversmith and learn what they could on the subject. And the silversmith readily showed them the process. "But sir," said one, "do you sit while the refining is going on?" "Oh, yes, indeed," he said. I must sit with my eyes steadily fixed on the surface. For if the time necessary for refining is exceeded in the slightest degree, the silver is sure to be damaged." And once they saw the beauty and comfort of the scripture passage, as they were leaving, the silversmith called after them, "Oh, one more thing. I only know when the process is complete by seeing my own image reflected on the silver." And isn't that what the Lord is doing with us? He's watching our lives. You know, we think that we're going through this on our own. Where is God in all this? He's right there with us, working in our lives. You know, I love my wife dearly, and you know, sometimes the things she says just makes me crack up. Things are going on in her lives, and you know, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and she'll say something like this. She'll say, "You know, I wish God would just give me the 5-year plan. You know, just show me all the things that are going to happen for 5 years. At least I know what's coming my way." How many of you experience that God gives the 5-year plan? Good, because I've never experienced that, and neither has my wife. What he does is he shows us what's happening here and now. He tells us to take one step at a time, and it's hard. But as we're going to see this morning, God says, you know, if you lack wisdom, ask for it, right? We know trials will come our way. And yeah, we don't like it. You know, James says, count it all joy. Think about this. You remember all that Job went through, the testing of his faith? Turn to Job chapter 28. Keep your hand in James. We're going to get there. If you get to Psalms, it's one book to the left of Psalms. Job chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 12 through 22. Here was a guy who went through some intense, intense trials in his life. And Job's friends, his counselors, the ones who gave Job foolish advice. And Job said to them, starting here in verse 12, he said, "But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, 'It is not in me,' and the sea says, 'It is not with me.' It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come, and where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living, and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, 'We have heard a report about it with our ears.'" Now, as we're going to see this morning, James is going to answer that question for us. But notice what Job says. Continue on. Look at verse 23. "Destruction and death say, 'We have heard a report about it with our ears.'" Here's the thing. God understands its ways, and he knows its place. "For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind and mete out the waters by measure. When he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it and prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, 'Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.'" How important it is. God has the wisdom that we need. And for every situation we find ourselves in, God has that wisdom. The problem is we don't ask, right? We don't seek his direction for our lives, but we need to, so we know how to respond, what we should do. You know, I don't think in this life we'll fully understand all that God is doing. I don't think we will. But here's the thing. Can we trust him? Can we place our faith in the one who loves us and knows exactly what each of us need? James is helping us understand that here. In spite of all we're going through, James is saying, or will go through, we can come before God and ask for wisdom in what we're facing. This whole chapter, James chapter 1, is dealing with the believer and suffering. And we don't like to link the two together, believer and suffering, do we? We want to keep them apart. Hey, I'm a believer, I don't want to suffer. And some people just basically say, hey, if you're a Christian, everything is great in your life. And I don't know how people sit and listen to that, because in reality, that's not true. We all face struggles. We all face trials in our lives. And what we do when we come to church is we put on a facade. How you doing? I'm doing great. Everything is fine. Liar. That is not true. But it's what we say, don't we? It's kind of a facade. We go through struggles. We go through difficulties. And the thing is, if all of us say everything is fine, when someone is really having a really, really difficult time, how is that going to help them? I mean, think about what God does in the Bible. Look at all the people in the Bible, godly men, godly women. And you look at their lives, and they screw up, and they have difficulties. And I say, praise God that these people in the Scriptures are not perfect people, who have no problems, that everything is perfect in their lives, because that would not encourage me. But as I read their stories, I go, wow, look at the lessons I can learn from them as they went through these things. And that's what God has done. These things were written beforehand that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, Paul said, might have hope. Exactly. This morning, we're going to look at, in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, and we're going to look at basically 3 points and a conclusion. In James 1, 5, the focus is ask for wisdom. In verse 6, ask in faith. In verses 7 and 8, results of not asking in faith. And then we'll bring it to a conclusion. And really, these verses that we're looking at this morning are born out of what James has just said in verses 2 through 4. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance or perseverance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing." So with that as our background, we're going to look at this topic, the believer and suffering. And as we go through these difficult times, the message, what is happening. Look at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. There is a distinction between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is information. And more importantly for us as Christians, it's the truth of God found in the Word of God. That's knowledge. And I believe that James is tackling this subject of trials in our life, knowing that we have this knowledge already. We already know the truth of God found in the Word of God. Wisdom is different. Wisdom is taking that knowledge, that information, the truth of God found in the Word of God, and applying it to our lives. It's walking according to what God's Word has to say, and not by our feelings or emotions or whatever. I mean, think about it. And I've used this example before, but, you know, on cigarette cartons or boxes, it says, you know, the Surgeon General has warned that cigarette smoking may cause cancer or heart disease or whatever. There's different things that it says on there. That's knowledge. That's information. And I'm not coming against people who smoke here. That's between you and the Lord. That's not the point. The point is the information. There's a warning there. So you have the information. Now, what are you doing with that information? If you're still smoking, you're not having wisdom, okay? Cigarette smoking causes a lot of issues here. The wisdom is, I'm not going to smoke. You understand that? The difference between knowledge. A lot of people have information, the right information. They just don't apply it to their lives. Think about it. Look at scientists today. We have so much knowledge about life, the complexity of life. Did you know encoded in our DNA are 3.1 billion letters of information? Just the DNA, 3.1 billion. If you counted 3 letters per second, it would take you 31 years to do that. Crazy. And what do scientists do with that information? They have all this information, the complexity of a cell. Years ago, they thought the cell was simple, and they called it a simple cell. Today, we understand the complexity. It's not able, it even reproduces itself. I mean, it's an incredible, you call it a machine, because it is. It's a factory. And so what do scientists do with that information? It happened just by random chance. You see, they have the right information. They have all this information that life is so complex, it's beyond any mathematical probability that life could happen from non-life. It's beyond that. But now they take the right information and they don't use it wisely. How does something gain information? It can't. It has to be programmed. Oh, and it was by our Creator who created the heavens and the earth and all life. You see, scientists have even gone another step because a lot of these guys realize, man, there is no way, it is impossible for life to evolve from non-life. It just can't happen. But they don't want to acknowledge the Creator God. So some of them believe that aliens put life here on Earth. All right, well, that's not science. It's science fiction, but okay. Other people feel it's intelligent design. So they're getting closer, but they refuse to acknowledge that it's the Creator of heaven and earth. It's Almighty God. They understand there has to be intelligent design to give us life. But they refuse to acknowledge the truth that there is a Creator God and we know who He is. When we're going through difficult times, when our life seems like it's a mess, do we need more knowledge? No, we really need wisdom. What do I do with this now? How do I respond? You know, someone once said that knowledge is the ability to take things apart. Wisdom is the ability to put things together. All right, things are falling apart around me. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to respond? You see how important that is? And I think many times we lack wisdom because we don't ask. And I understand, you know, you may be thinking, well, yeah, but the situation I'm going through, the Bible doesn't directly speak about it. Well, yeah, the Bible doesn't give us specific answers to all the problems that arise in life. It doesn't really solve problems in so many words, but God's Word gives us principles, and we need to apply those principles to the problems we face. We need wisdom, spiritual wisdom, to apply to our lives every day. You know, God wants us to seek His wisdom. He wants to give us wisdom so we could walk accordingly. And if you want wisdom, go to the Word of God, right? The Bible, that's where you need to start. There are a lot of people who will tell you this is what you need to do. But is it what God wants you to do? See, that's the key. You know, Jesus said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Ask and walk accordingly. You know, I like what Spurgeon said, because I think he nailed it. He said, we are all so ready to go to books, to go to men, to go to ceremonies, to anything except to God. Consequently, the text does not say, let him ask books, nor ask priests, but let him ask of God. How simple. I'm not saying we can't learn from books. We can learn from even other Christians. Why don't we, though, bring these things before God and ask for his wisdom? Well, God doesn't speak to me. I don't get, you know, the wisdom. I don't think that's true. I may not like the wisdom that God has given me, right? That's usually the problem. It's not about us choosing. It's about what God has said. And I can be totally confident that God will give me the wisdom that I need. Because that's what James says, that God gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God is so generous that he gives to us exactly what we need. In fact, I think many times more than what we need. And he does so without reprimanding us or putting us down. And God wants to give us this wisdom. It's the open hand of God, not the clenched fist of God. Think about the days we're living in, the information that's being thrust upon us. And it's increasing so much, I don't even think we can comprehend all the information that's out there. Knowledge doubled from 100 BC to 1700 in 1800 years. It doubled from 1700 to 1900 in 200 years. It doubled from 1900 to 1950 in 50 years. Knowledge doubled. It was 1800 years. 50? From 1950 to 1970 in 20 years. 70 to 80, 10 years. 80 to 88, 8 years. It's doubling every 12 months, and many feel it's going to double every 12 hours. How do you keep up with that? Online information doubles every 6 months. Biological information doubles every 18 months. Corporate information doubles every 18 months, and so does genetic and technical knowledge and clinical knowledge every 18 months. So we have all this knowledge out there. All this information, it's doubling quickly. What are we lacking? Wisdom. How do we apply these things to our lives? You know, I think of wisdom as common sense sometimes. You know, it's just common sense. And many people just don't have that. And they're not applying the wisdom that God has given to them. You know, Professor Alan Bloom touched on this in his book. It's called The Closing of the American Mind. And this is what he wrote. He says, my grandparents were ignorant people by our standards. And my grandfather held only lowly jobs. But their home was spiritually rich because all the things done in it, not only what was specifically ritual, found their origin in the Bible stories and the commentaries on them, and had their imaginative counterparts in the deeds of the myriad of exemplary heroes, my grandparents found reasons for the existence of their family and their fulfillment of their duties in serious writings. And they interpreted their special sufferings with respect to a great and ennobling past. And then the punchline from him. He said, I do not believe that my generation, my cousins who have been educated in the American way, all of whom are MDs or PhDs, have any comparable learning. When they talk about heaven and earth, the relations between men and women, parents and children, the human condition, I hear nothing but cliches, superficialities, and the material of satire. We've lost that ability to take what we know, the truths of God found in the Word of God, and apply them to our lives. There's always a new book, a new teaching. And I'm just throw this out at you. 40 Days of Purpose. Well, 40 Days of Purpose? Why don't I just dig into God's Word and see what He's got for me? You see, why do I need a man to tell me what my purpose in life is for? I really don't. And I said, like I said before, there's nothing wrong with learning from books as long as they're biblically correct. But are these things, are we using these things to help us instead of God's word? And there's so many things out there. I need this, I need that. And what I don't hear is, I just need to pray. I just need to seek God's direction in this. We don't seem to hear that anymore. And then we wonder, I just don't know what to do. Well, have you asked? Have you sought direction from God? Well, I read this book. No, that's not what I'm asking you. Have you sought direction from God? My marriage is a mess. I don't know what to do. Okay. You know the truths of God found in the Word of God. Of course I do. How's your walk with God? What do you mean? Well, are you reading God's Word? Are you praying? Are you going to church? What are you doing? You see, it's like a triangle. Husband, wife, and God at the top. And your relationship with your spouse will never be close unless your relationship with God is close. There's the wisdom. I need to draw close to God. This is going to help not only my relationship with my wife, but my relationship with everyone. You see, you got the truths of God. I know how I'm supposed to act, but I'm not doing the things I need to. So that's not wisdom. I'm sure all of you remember the story of Solomon. Here was a man who asked for wisdom from God on how to rule a nation. What a godly example. In 1 Chronicles 1:10, Solomon prayed, "Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours?" And in 1 Kings 3:5, we're told that the Lord met with Solomon in a dream when he was at Gibeon, where the tabernacle was located. And he just wants wisdom to rule God's people by. And Solomon, he was young, probably in his 20s. What a responsibility. Remember what his father David said to him in 1 Chronicles 29:1 and in 22:12. David told him, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God." And Solomon is just echoing the prayers of his father David. God would give him wisdom and understanding to lead his people. He couldn't do it on his own. That's great. And God gave him the desire of his heart. Solomon did not ask for personal gain, and God blessed him abundantly. And then comes the incident in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 27. And he needed wisdom to decide what to do. Two harlots both gave birth to sons within a three-day period. They lived together, and one night one of the mothers rolled over and suffocated her child while she was sleeping. And she took this dead child and switched him with the other child, hoping to fool her friend. And when she awoke and examined the child, she knew that this wasn't her son. And they bring the case before Solomon, the king. What was he going to do? How do you decide? I mean, there wasn't DNA testing, right? Interestingly enough, Solomon's solution to the problem was, you know what? Bring the child here, get out a sword, cut the child in two, give a half to each mother. Like, that is the craziest thing in the world. No, it was the wisest thing in the world to do. Imagine how the birth mom felt. She was like, no, just give her the child. Well, the mom who was not the birth mom said, yeah, cut the child in two. Solomon was very wise in what he said. And he gives the child to the birth mom. That's wisdom. In fact, it says, all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Absolutely. They saw that the wisdom of God was in him. We need to take that time to ask God for wisdom in a given situation. It's important. Remember what Solomon said in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That is so important because my understanding can be flawed. It can be wrong. I need to trust in the Lord, not lean on my own understanding. When I look at things, I may not see the full picture, but God does. So I need to trust in him because he's going to direct my path. He's going to show me what to do. He's going to help me in what to say in a given situation. And I can tell you, in the situations that I've been in, all the years that I've been up here, I'm always amazed because I've prayed for God to give me wisdom in these situations and make it clear, what do I do? When do I do it? And he's done so much more. I mean, it was so black and white that it made the decision very easy. What's amazing is because even afterwards, after I go and I do what I needed to do, there's a little doubt. You know how the enemy goes, was that the right thing to do?
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.